Hi, guys. I'm Dr. Beal.
And I'm Dr. Chip.
And we are veterinarians. Start over.
And we are father and son.
I'm the older, wiser one.
Oh, and I'm the younger, hipper one.
Right. I'm certainly the better looking one.
All right, all right. Well, we are running a veterinary hospital together.
And we love hanging out as family together.
And we are best friends. Usually.
Yeah, right, usually. But mostly we have lots of fun together caring for animals.
Well, most of the time it's fun working with you, Dad.
We really do a lot of things together.
That is true. I have pets at home.
And I have pets at home, too. Pets that can be a challenge, both behaviorally and medically. That is why we decided to do a podcast together about the realities of pet care.
Called Vets Talk Pets.
It's a place where we will share tips, tricks, and cutting-edge science about pet care.
And maybe a little family stuff, too.
So if you want help with all things pet care,
join us as Vets Talk Pets.
Here we go. Thanks for listening today to Vets Talk Pets. Today, Dr. Chip and I are going to be talking about a really interesting subject. It's a pain point for people about dogs pooping and peeing in your house, mostly puppies. So it's going to be puppy training, and you're really going to want to pay attention to this one. But before we get into that, we've got some really cool pet stuff, the discovery of the week. And let me just give you another heads up, too. Pay attention to the very end of the podcast because we've got a really cool case of the week.
Helping you enjoy your pet more. Here is Julie Beal with this week's Cool Pet Stuff Discovery.
Tell us, Julie, what'd you find this week?
Well, I found a really cool app. It's called Pupper. And Pupper is spelled P-U-P-P-R.
Oh, that's an unusual spelling.
It
I wasn't
is.
Expecting that. So maybe you want to spell that again.
Okay, so this app is called P-U-P-P-R.
Got it.
And what it is it's a training app to use to train your dog, which sounds kind of crazy. I thought maybe this would be a crazy little app, but when I opened it up, it's actually really good. It gives you the basic instructions on how to train your dog for like basic sitting, stay.
Just like gives you ideas?
Yes, but it also gives you like pictures for every part of that. I mean, it's broke down really, really well, so you can see how to show your dog how to sit, how to make it lay down.
Have you actually used this app?
Yes, you can actually put your dog's name in there, and you can work through the progress of the basics, and you can win little badges when your dog does this and does that.
Do you have a dog that you've used it
yes,
on?
Yes, I do. And she actually is doing pretty well, as long as I follow through. But this app, what's really neat about it, was made by Sarah Carson, and probably a lot of people might not know her name, but they probably recognize or have seen this girl who has these collies on different,
yep.
I think she's on America's Most Talented. She actually is in like fifth place. She made the championship. And this dog does amazing tricks for all of her collies. And she goes through and she shows you how to do that. I mean, like this thing starts real basic, this app, but then it goes to like charming tricks, circus tricks, teaches them how to spin, kiss, say their prayers, sit pretty, wave, how to be shy. I mean, it just goes on and on. And the instructions.
Is it just tricks or can you teach your dog to be obedient?
Yes, you definitely can teach your dog to be obedient. I wouldn't say this is going to replace a trainer.
No.
But it sure is a lot of fun, and it's based on a positive sound or reinforcement, so it even has a built-in clicker, so maybe you can hear it.
Oh, yeah.
So now you have this app on your phone, and you can be out and about, and you have taught your dog certain tricks, and you can use the clicker kind of on the go.
Now, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really a cool app, and like some of the circus tricks is jump rope and scooting and handstand. So it's really, of course, you have to have the dog. Certain breeds can't do certain things, but I really think it's a cool.
What's it cost?
Well, the basic package is free. And of course, if you want to get into some of the more fun stuff, I think it's $4.99, which is not bad.
Oh, no.
I might have that wrong. So, and of course, in the app world, they charge can either be from free or on special or can be more.
Seems to me, though, just download it and try it for free. If you like it, then investigate further.
Yes, I think it's a really fun really cool app. It's very organized and the instructions are really, really solid.
I actually do happen to know. I asked the question if you're using it. Well, our dog Rosie, she's 7 months old and I see you using it all the time.
Yeah. And she's, we like the first trick I taught her was spinning and now we're working on praying.
She spins for everything.
Yeah, she does. She kind of gets her commands. She's little, she's getting her commands mixed up, but we're working on that. But we also have hired a trainer too.
Oh yes, absolutely. It's not going to replace a trainer. I think that's well said.
Yeah. So this is available for the iPhone and for the Android. So if you go to your app store, you can find it.
Cool. Well, thanks a lot, Julie. I'm wrapping up this cool stuff for pet segment, and we'll be looking forward to your next find.
That's great. I'll see you soon.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to episode 2 of Vet Talk Pets. Man, we're big time now. 2 episodes. We are professionals.
Has anybody even listened to episode 1 yet?
Yeah, probably not.
Probably not.
So, yeah, today we are going to be talking about puppies. The cuddly little pooping and peeing in the house things that we love so much. And we could honestly talk about this for a long time, but today is going to talk about some basic tips on puppies, kind of give you a better idea and window into their minds and what these little creatures could be thinking. So that being said, I want to start with talking about dogs that poop and pee in the house. And you can speak from experience because you have a puppy in the house. And how does it make you feel when your dog poops and pees in the house?
It is so frustrating, especially being a veterinarian. You think, oh my word, I ought to know how to do this. I tell my clients how to do it all day, every day. And then I come home and my dog is pooping and peeing in the house. So you're right. It is a very frustrating thing. And there are definitely ways to work on it. And all dogs will get trained eventually if we work on it and just don't ignore it. So yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, it is tough.
I get it from my clients. I really get it.
Yeah. And it makes you frustrated, can make you mad. And I do want to communicate the importance of that, not to let your anger get the best of you those situations.
So
because
true.
These little puppies are so sensitive.
Mm.
And if they are exposed to too much anger and fear, that really, really could impact the long-term effects on their behavior. That might not come out to the age of 2 or 3. So
yeah, let's not break their hearts.
Yeah. And it's hard. Trust me. I know my dog, it was rough. So with that being said, I'll kind of want to share with you the most common times that your dog is going to poop or pee in the house. And the first one's obviously right when they wake up in the morning. They just need to be let out right away. But also any nap during the day, they're going to need to be let out. Right after they eat, they almost are immediately stimulated to go to the bathroom. So definitely let them out. And the one that not everybody thinks about so much is after a big play session. So if your dog's playing and roughhousing with the kids or the other dog, they are going to be stimulated to use the restroom in the house. So try to take them out. And then back to the part where when they eat, they're stimulated. So I recommend to give your dog 2 meals a day. You put the food down in the morning and then you take the bowl right up, even if they don't finish it. Otherwise, they'll be grazers all day and then they'll be stimulated to use the restroom like 11 o'clock in the morning when you don't even realize it because they just ate. So take the food up after you feed them, and if they don't finish it, don't put it back down, and eventually they'll realize that food's not going to be there. They'll finish it in one sitting.
That's true. The controversy or the debate or the different sides of the issue between meal feeding, as you just described, versus free choice feeding is intense. I mean, there's people on both sides of that camp. And since we are talking about house training your puppy today, what you just gave was the correct answer. I don't care about the debate. It's much easier to house train your dog when they're being meal fed. Now, the problem is today's lifestyle, we're not always around at the exact same time twice a day. And that's why a lot of people just meal feed, because it's easier for the owner when they're coming home late from work or going to meetings and stuff or running the kids around. It's easier just to have the food down all the time. But if you do that for your own convenience, you are definitely going to make it harder on your dog to be house trained.
Well, let's get real here for a second.
Yeah.
How do you feed your dog?
I am a loser.
Have you?
I'm a total loser.
Have you taken my advice?
Okay, here's the deal, guys. Here's the deal. You're going to call me out. I'm just going to tell you. Because my clients are so good, and we have so many of them, and they're just such great clients, that I really want to serve them well. Mm-hmm. That requires about 20 hours a day of my time. I mean, you and I both work a lot taking care of our clients, doing these podcasts, or just so I fall into that lifestyle of there is no, my dog would starve mm-hmm. if I had to feed her on a schedule. So she wow. does get, my dog does wow. get meal fed.
Free,
but,
meal
but,
fed or free fed?
I'm sorry. She gets like free grazing. Fed grazing food. Yeah. That's the way we feed her because of this lifestyle issue. But let me say, like I said, there's consequences to that. Rosie is 8 months old mm-hmm. and not totally house trained.
Wow. Because she think defecates?
Yes. Yeah. And I think that's because that she's free choice mm-hmm. eating and because of our lifestyle that we've chose. And we are patient with her, as you said earlier. Because of that, we're just very patient and we don't break her heart. And we know that's probably our fault. And, but she is getting it. She's definitely getting better. Yeah. We love her so much. So that's call me out. I'm guilty.
I think on this podcast, our listeners are going to get a lot of do as I say, not
yeah,
as I do
exactly.
from the both of us.
Well, I get
it's
it.
It's real life. Yeah.
It's hard to be a pet owner and do it right. And we just try the best we can.
Yep.
Cool.
Yes.
Yeah, so, thanks for giving me a break on that.
Yeah. So potty training is going to be one of the biggest pain points for people with puppies, and hang in there. They're just so young and so vulnerable. Just stick with them. If they do go potty in the house, make sure they know that it's not good and take them outside immediately. That way they know where they're supposed to go, even if they don't finish when they're out there. But when they do go outside, really let them know how much that pleases you. Go outside with them. And give them a treat almost immediately when they're done. If you wait to give them a treat when they go back inside, they just don't have the capability to directly connect that to them going potty. So just really, really praise them up. I mean, these animals, they want to please us. They really do. And that goes with the training and all the puppy stuff. Just positive reinforcement. Smother them with treats. If it gets to be out of control, use their food as treats. So what do you think?
Yeah, that all said is great. And there's actually statistical evidence to support it. When those great clients come in with those new puppies, and we're so grateful to have them at Springboro Veterinary Hospital, we just really appreciate you coming in. And we bond with you and that pet at that very mm-hmm. visit. We're in love with you guys. So we want you to be successful. So you can take these tips that we're giving you and be successful. But we also want to see you a year from now, after this puppy's become a dog, an adult dog, being very successful in its life with you. And what we know statistically is that 30% of those people and those pets we will not see in a year from now because that puppy's no longer in the home. Because of behavioral problems like defecation, urination in the house, and other biting type behaviors and stuff. So when we started this podcast by saying, be patient and love these pets, because if you don't, if you break their hearts, and if you just get mad at them and say, I can't have this dog anymore, it will be gone. You will either find a new home for it, you'll take it to a shelter, and it'll be one of these statistics of the 30% that didn't make it. And I really think, Chip, for me, part of this podcast is changing that number from 30% to zero, mm-hmm. where all of them are successful in their homes. And we see them again when they're a year old and the client's happy, the dog's happy, and it's mm-hmm. a great relationship. Mm-hmm. So that's our
yeah.
goal.
Yeah, that's, yeah, zero. That's
yeah.
That's ambitious, but I think that's attainable. Yeah, thanks a lot for sharing that statistic, Dad. That's a very important one that we want to communicate, and behavior is the issue behind that. So with that being said, let's talk about socialization. A lot of veterinarians will tell you to isolate your dog until after they've had all their puppy vaccines. I get it. You know, they don't want your animal to get sick, but I kind of have a different view on that. I think it's important that your dog has social interaction before their puppy vaccines are done. Like with you said, more dogs are released to the shelter for behavior issues versus illnesses. With that being said, I don't really want your dog to go to the dog park and things like that, but set up puppy dates and play dates for your dog.
Great idea.
With dogs that you know that are up to date on all their vaccines, socially acceptable, they're not going to traumatize your sweet little puppy, and they're not sick. I think that's really going to help the behavioral outcome of your dog.
Regarding that socialization, I think that's the value of the Vets Talk Pets podcast. In our introduction, we talk about the older, wiser versus the younger, smarter veterinarian. I would fall into that camp of, I always was falling on the side of, yeah, get your dog all vaccinated and protected before you get it out. But when that all happens, you know, by then the dog is 17, 18, 19, 20 weeks old, and you've really missed that socialization window that you just talked about. Mm-hmm. And a lot of problems can have, behavioral problems happen because they weren't socialized earlier. So I think that's, you know, kind of new information from The Ohio State University College of Veterinary Medicine that you just graduated from, and you're bringing that kind of information to me and to our clients and now to the world through the podcast. So this is why we're doing this.
Absolutely. Crate training is another thing that is a source of frustration for owners. My view on that is crates are really, really good tools to help kind of hone in your dog and keep them from preventing them from doing the things that get them in trouble. So with that being said, I don't want the crate to be the place that your dog goes whenever the door is shut behind them and you go to bed or you go away for a couple hours. Let's make this crate a positive thing. Try feeding some of your puppy's meals inside the crate with the door open. Never shut the door behind them so they know it's not going to be this place of just where I go when I'm left. Another thing you can do with the crate is when you do go by for a long time, get one of those Kongs and that you can put peanut butter in, put in the freezer, and then when you go away, stick that in there with your puppy and let them go to work on it for a long time. The freezer makes the peanut butter last longer, so eventually they will like it. And I've done a lot of things wrong with my dog, but that the crate is the one thing I did do well, and it increases our quality of life because we feel like we can go out to dinner and our dog's happy in the crate.
Our new puppy, Rosie, she's 7 months old, 8 months old now. And I'm telling you, she likes going in that crate. Yeah. But I don't really think she likes going in on her own. It's that Kong and peanut butter.
Yeah.
Man, oh man. When we get the Kong out, she goes running towards the crate.
Oh my gosh.
And literally, we throw the Kong into the crate ahead of her, and she goes flying in after it. And she doesn't even know that we're leaving.
Yeah.
It makes me feel much better.
Yeah. So you guys, if you don't know my dad, he's a very literal person, and like he didn't take my advice on the free feeding, and I get that, you know, it's lifestyle's time, but he took my advice on the peanut butter.
Yep.
A couple weeks ago, I walked into my room, I just had to laugh. There is an extra large jar of peanut butter.
You can't buy next a bigger
to
jar.
Next to his bed, sitting there, ready at all times to make this dog love him.
Yep, and she does.
She does, yeah.
Yeah.
I just think, you know,
her too.
Yeah, and you know, she does. She likes her crate. When we watch her that one time, she goes right in it without a fuss.
No crying, nothing. Never, no accidents in there.
But that was a funny moment for me. I was like, wow.
He did listen to me.
I said peanut butter, and he went above and beyond. It's peanut butter galore.
Yeah.
So we're going to continue to try to share an interesting case each week. The one that I want to share this week is not exactly interesting, but I think it might provide a little bit of insight for people that have pets and all the pet parents out there. I had a 6-year-old female spayed golden doodle. So they have hair that doesn't shed, which is good, which is why a lot of people like them. That being said, they need to have their hair cut at least every 6 to 8 weeks or it just mats and grows. So the owner of this dog tried to cut their dog's hair by themselves. Good intentions. They want to get the mats out and save a little bit of money on the groom. And they accidentally cut the dog with scissors. A pretty good cut, too. It involved a surgery that I had to do that took about an hour and a half of wound reconstruction. So that's just the case I wanted to share, just to kind of keep that in mind when you're cutting your dog's hair. The skin is pretty closely adhered to the hair, and when you pull it up, The skin goes up with it. So just be careful when you're trying to groom your dog out there by yourself. That is my case for this week.
Cool.
This is our second podcast, and we're having a great time. We're learning through this, so help us out a little bit. You can find us on springborovet.com, also Google Play and iTunes. If you like what you're hearing, let us know. Give us a review. If there's any topics you'd like us to talk about, let us know. And, yeah, we will see you next time.
Yeah, see you next time. Thanks, guys.